Today's topic is holistic nutrition and cooking foods that look and taste like comfort food, but are incredibly healthy and healing. Hello, and welcome to The Whole Health Cure, a space for trustworthy, science-based information on how you can live healthier and longer through the way you eat, move, think, and recover. I'm your host, Dr. Sharon Berquist, a physician, scientist, and lifestyle medicine pioneer with over 25 years of experience in patient-centered clinical care. Our guest today is Ashley Madden. Ashley is a certified holistic nutritionist, wellness-focused pharmacist, plant-based chef, and extremely talented food photographer. She was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in her early 20s, which shook up her world. Ashley turned to the power of plants to overhaul her diet and reclaim her life. Her work has been featured on One Green Plant, Forks Over Knives, Vegan Lifestyle Magazine, and many more. She currently lives in Taipei, Taiwan with her husband, Bernard, and her latest cookbook, Plant-Based Delicious, will be out in June of 2023. Ashley, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Ashley, I have to start off by saying, I looked at your most recent cookbook, and it is the most stunning, gorgeous. I mean, the recipes look mouthwatering, and I've looked at a lot of cookbooks. So you are just have such a knack for this. So I'm so excited to talk to you about your recipes, about the inspiration behind the book, and about you. So much of your work centers around your personal history, right? And it's really led your professional life as well as changed your personal life. So let me start by asking you about what got you on this path of plant-based medicine or plant-based cooking for medicine.
Right. Thank you. Yes, this question, I mean, it's at the core of everything that I do is my own personal experience. So for your listeners, just to give them like a quick background on me, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis when I was 23. And at that time, I was just finishing up my pharmacy residency. I was doing a hospital pharmacy residency. And at that time, actually, I was working in the ICU. And I had some back problems and I got an MRI and, you know, it was one of those walk-in clinics and it was just all surreal, kind of all plays in slow motion. Anyways, they came back and they were just like, you have multiple sclerosis. And I was so shocked and really taken aback. And it took me a long time to sort out how I was going to deal with this because I knew right from the beginning that just taking medications and living my life as I was told wasn't going to be enough for me. And through years of research, like reading different kinds of books, because back then it was different. The world moved so fast today. It was different. There weren't the amazing resources like this podcast back then, or there weren't a lot of cookbooks or people talking about what was then known as like alternative medicine approaches. So after years really of research, probably about three, it became so obvious. I was like, oh my God, the connection between diet and health is so overwhelming. And I felt so foolish as a healthcare professional, not even feeling more passionate about it. And overnight, one day, I finished reading this amazing book by a doctor called Dr. Jelinek, who started the charity Overcoming Multiple Sclerosis. And I was just like, yeah, this is it, plant-based diet. And so everything from that point on has been part of that journey. And I guess it's just been like a domino effect. I say in my books that as I made changes in my personal life and how I ate, it was like a chain reaction. It reflected in my profession as well. And I started moving closer and closer to the culinary world and to the holistic world. And then food and the benefits it could have for people. And so ultimately I left pharmacy and became a holistic nutritionist and chef.
Yeah, what an amazing journey. And along the way, as you were learning about the foods, autoimmune diseases are so incredibly common. What were you learning that should be incorporated in food and what should you be avoiding?
For me at that time, learning about inflammatory foods and foods that can contribute to inflammatory, but then also foods that can decrease inflammation. So that was like a real turning point for me. I was like, oh, the foods that I choose can affect the overall amount of inflammation in my body. And at that point, I thought I was really eating healthy. I was eating low-calorie frozen dinners and convenience foods that were made with who knows what. But for me, it was really this idea of like, okay, eat more anti-inflammatory foods and reduce the processed foods in my diet. And that's where I started with that.
Mm-hmm. And when you choose ingredients now as you cook, how have you carried that forth? Because now obviously you do far more than not eat processed foods.
How did I carry it forward in my own personal life or in the cookbooks?
Really in both, because I imagine there was a lot of back and forth in both.
Yeah, I think it's really important when you're making major dietary changes or lifestyle changes to know what kind of person you are and how you like to step into change. If it's gradual, planned, or like me, really a cold turkey approach. I'm very much like all or nothing. So after I read a bunch and I felt ready, I just woke up one morning and I was like, okay, this is the way I'm eating. I'm eating a whole foods, plant-based diet. And I started one meal at a time. And that's what I say to most people. Just start it one meal at a time or take it one meal at a time. And it can be a lot more approachable and a lot easier. So I started gathering ingredients based on that one meal at a time situation. For me, it started with green smoothies, adding spinach to a smoothie that was, for me, my God, mind-blowing. And then it became to, okay, well, I'm going to have a salad. How do I make my salad dressing healthier? How can I avoid the inflammatory oils that are used in most salad dressings, all the sodium, the processed ingredients? So I started making my own salad dressings. And then it was like, okay, what's the simplest version of vegetables and whole grains I can have, really? So I started with a stir fry. And then obviously it became more sophisticated over time. I also like to explain to people, and I think we'll talk about this because it really is in this cookbook, Plant-Based Delicious. I am a foodie at heart. I have always loved food. I have always loved the culinary arts. I love the performance that happens at the dinner table. And so when I adopted a plant-based diet, I think I knew that that part of my life was over. And then when I got really comfortable making basic meals, I was just adamant that that part of my life wasn't over. I was like, I need to bring fun, excitement, flavor, texture, the art that's in culinary art into the plant-based world. And that's really been a big inspiration for me and the ingredients that I choose and the recipes that I make. It's showing people that plant-based eating can be, if not more exciting and sometimes more delicious than probably what they were used to eating before they decided to include more whole foods in their diet.
Mm-hmm. And how do you come up with the ingredients that you choose? There's so many, as you said, and there's so many ways to mix and match to make food delicious and healthy. How do you go about just creating a recipe?
For me, in my head, I always have this checklist when I'm approaching a recipe, and especially with ingredients. And the first one would be the power foods, that list of superfoods that are anti-inflammatory. And I try and incorporate those wherever I can. And I try and show other people how easy it is to incorporate them without making their dish all about that food. So for me, leafy greens, cruciferous vegetables, whole grains, legumes, ginger, turmeric. When it comes to desserts, berries, well, not just desserts, breakfasts as well. But so I always have this list of, okay, where is like that really healthy food going to come into this recipe? I also love to cook seasonally and show people how to use maybe not so common ingredients. And then I also think about color. I think the easiest way to help someone create a meal that's vibrant and full of antioxidants is to talk about color, which a lot of people do. And I feel like that notion is more popular now than ever, which is excellent. So I think about, what does my plate look like? What other colors can I add to it? I also think about accessibility. Even though I said seasonally, I do think about accessibility, knowing that, for example, I live in Taiwan and the different mushrooms that are available to me is just amazing. It's so exciting for me to experiment with them. But I keep that in mind that not everybody is going to have access to the same things that I do here, because most of my followers and a lot of people that cook for my cookbook and who have been following me on my website, risecookshinecook.ca, if anybody's interested, are in North America. So I have to keep all of that in mind. And then I think the final thing would be my own cravings. and that's really where the cookbook came from, is that I just really love delicious food. So I just love incorporating really healthy food and showing people that it can be really healthy.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of inspiration that is from around the world. As I went through some of the recipes, it just seems like you capture so many different cultures and you have foods really from around the world, but adapted towards a plant-based diet. And how do you bring in that cultural experience into it?
I think that comes from my love of the culinary arts and just exposure through cookbooks of different ways of using whole food ingredients, like using whole spices, which, you know, I do a lot of Indian cooking, and using whole spices is one of the easiest ways to create more flavor. So that part comes in that way. And a lot of the chefs that I follow also showcase international flavors. And a lot of the time, those international flavors are framed in an unhealthy way. And sometimes I like to show people how, if you think creatively or you use whole foods in unique ways, you can take these international dishes and make them in plant-based versions as well. My travel has also significantly influenced my taste and I guess my thought process when I'm creating a menu or creating a recipe. I've been lucky enough to travel with my husband around the world. I've lived in Europe, Canada, the United States. I now live in Asia, and we've traveled everywhere in between. And because food is such a huge part of my life, it's a big part of my life when I travel as well. And I seek out these more health forward, vegetable forward restaurants because they're everywhere now. The whole world is taking a step in that direction.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of health, obviously, there's a healing effect to an anti-inflammatory diet. If you don't mind my asking, how do you personally feel differently making the shifts that you've made?
Oh, wow. It's been such a gift. I originally chose to go down the plant-based road, I guess, from my diagnosis with multiple sclerosis and to decrease inflammation and to hopefully prevent progression of my MS, because as you know, MS is one of those unpredictable chronic autoimmune diseases. But the, I guess, side effects of that were just amazing, not in a negative way, in a very positive way. I noticed that things that I dealt with my whole life just kind of fell away. I used to have difficulty sleeping, and I used to have really terrible, like, energy plummets right in the middle of the afternoon. And I had issues with acne and eczema. And I also had psoriasis as well, actually, which just has gone away as another, I guess, thing that's happened since I've been following a plant-based diet. So I just felt so much better. Sometimes people who are learning about this way of eating when they have chronic disease want to know that for sure it'll prevent or cure. And of course, we can't guarantee that ever. And someone recently asked me, what if like your MS progresses or you have an episode, or will you be resentful or angry about all these changes you've made, all these lifestyle changes that you've made? And I'm like, absolutely not. There's so many other diseases that I'm preventing or helping to prevent by eating this way and by living this way. And like your question points to, I just feel so much better. And so even if it wasn't for MS, if they told me tomorrow that I didn't have MS, I would not change a thing. This would still be my chosen diet and my chosen lifestyle.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And you started talking about inspiration behind creating cookbooks and how much you just want to share your love of how to make cooking delicious and share that with people. How do you think this book sits or maybe sets apart from other books?
Yeah, I think that, well, first, this book started during the pandemic for me. That's when the idea for this book came about. And it wasn't so much a specific idea on like a theme, but it was a feeling. And it was, I want to give people more from their plant-based meals. I want to give them more flavor, more options, more alternatives to approaching perhaps favorite meals that they haven't had in a while. I wanted to show people how they could use whole foods in unique ways, which has always been my favorite thing about plant-based eating and whole foods in general, how you can do so many different things with them. So I just wanted to take it up a notch. That was my inspiration for this book. So I started creating recipes, and then it was the pandemic, and then we had lockdowns. And then food became my work, my entertainment, my companion. I worked so closely with these recipes, and then I got pregnant. So it was in the pandemic. I was pregnant, locked up in my house, working on this cookbook. And so it became such a not just passion project, but I just got so fired up about what I wanted it to be and how I wanted it to really make a difference in how people saw plant-based eating. So the book is full of flavor. The book is full of traditional recipes that kind of have a new spin on them. It is full of using beans and vegetables in ways to create delicious sauces and desserts and cookies. And it's just, I don't know, I think it's a real great contribution to the plant-based community.
Yeah, I would completely agree. I think these recipes, like, you can always look at ingredients and just tell if it's going to be a recipe that you're going to like just by looking at the ingredient list. And there are so many that I looked at and I thought, oh, this is just all the blends of the flavors. You can just tell that these are going to be excellent recipes. So I'm very much looking forward to trying so many of them. And you also mentioned kind of the accessibility part of it. You know, people are at different levels of how comfortable they are with cooking. What would you say to people who maybe are at the earlier stages, like they haven't done much in the kitchen, where you were, say, in your 20s, where there were a lot of frozen meals in your weekly rotation?
There's two things that I say, because I get this question quite a bit from people who find my first cookbook, the plant-based cookbook, is very much about my journey. And I lay out the entire plant-based pantry. And then the recipes, a lot of them are for beginners. But the main thing I always come back to is start with one meal and then focus on what you add and not what you take away. That's, I think, key to having success when you're starting to eat healthier is, okay, you know you want to eat more green foods. Okay, so add more broccoli to your plate. Focus on what you're adding first. And then when that gets more comfortable, take the things away that you don't want to eat anymore. I think when you start the opposite way, there is this emptiness, this feeling of lack, both figuratively and literally on the plate. And when people start taking things away without really learning what they want to incorporate, it can be jarring and people are busy. And I think that it's hard to come up with an entire meal plan right from the get-go. So I say, go slow, start one meal at a time, and just start buying the foods that you really want to incorporate into your diet. But by all means, if you are motivated to remove the red meat and to remove the refined oils and all that stuff, then definitely go for that as well. But I think that's like the main starting point. And I feel like people don't know how much momentum they'll gain. In the beginning, it takes so much. I know, I've been there. It takes so much effort and there's confusion and frustration. But then when people get going, you see it. I'm sure you see it all the time. People start getting really like, oh my God, I did that. I made that. I ate that. And then they just get going on their own. And before you know it, they're off making their own recipes and making their own Buddha bowls and figuring out how to make their own sauces. So I think just like in the beginning, you have to trust the process and just start one meal at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like everything else, just start somewhere and just grow from there.
Yeah.
In this cookbook, all the recipes are gluten-free and oil-free. Is that right?
They are.
Yeah. And why did you choose to make the recipes that way?
So first with gluten-free, there are so many people trying gluten-free diets or discovering some kind of gluten intolerance. I do not have a gluten-free diet. I did for about 8 years. I experimented with that where I had autoimmune disease, and there are many people with autoimmune disease who have issues with gluten, but I think gluten is not an evil ingredient. Like I said, I eat gluten, and I found that I don't find it that difficult to eat gluten-free, to be totally honest, or bake gluten-free or anything like that. And I felt like a lot of the cookbooks or resources out there for people who were in that crossover between plant-based and gluten-free didn't have as many options, or that the gluten-free options were these flour mixes or all these like different kinds of exotic ingredients to make up for it, or they had more sugar added or more fat added to make up for the lack of gluten. And I have always felt like it was easier to cook that way. So I wanted to include that community in the cookbooks. And so my first cookbook is gluten-free as well. And the oil-free piece, I stopped using oils in cooking about 12 or 13 years ago. And I say oil-free, but really it's, you know, no added oils, because there are natural oils in all whole foods. I've stopped adding oils, you know, oil that comes in like a bottle, to my baking and sautéing and cooking, because oils are a big source of inflammatory ingredients. A lot of them are highly refined. A lot of them are of poor quality. And a lot of them are used in excess, especially in processed foods. And I think that when you're trying to eat healthier or reduce fat in your diet, saturated fats especially, that removing oils is a really easy piece. I like to show people that cooking without oil is like a kitchen skill. You don't need to adopt it for every recipe you make. You can just take it as like, oh, I know how to cook without oil. And I have found that a lot of people that don't have any health issues whatsoever, once they learn, they stop sautéing their vegetables for their soup with oil. They stop tossing their vegetables with oil before they pop them in the oven, because it's easy and it allows you to, I mean, people who are in this world for weight loss or for managing weight, it is an easy way to cut down on calories and cut down on excessive fat. And then the other reason that I put it on the cover, when I was writing my first cookbook, I pitched this to the publisher, you know, that everything's going to be oil-free and I want that to be on the cover. And they were like, that makes no sense. Like, why would you do that? And I'm like, trust me, there is a group of people out there who are interested in decreasing the amount of oil that they cook with. And I think my book was the first one that had oil-free on the cover. And I got a lot of questions about it, but it did resonate with a lot of people. And the recipes aren't strange for it. They're actually delicious and healthier. And so I love to teach that and show people that that's an option for them in the kitchen.
Yeah, I think it's such an important part of plant-based eating. I think there's a notion that adding oil, even olive oil, is a healthy food when there really isn't enough to substantiate that it's healthy to add. It's certainly better than butter, but intentionally adding when a recipe can be delicious without, but still a tablespoon is 120 calories of oil.
Right. And like a tablespoon, 15 milliliters, is so little. And once you start measuring and pouring, you're like, wow, I'm using 3 tablespoons when I'm sautéing this, which is just a lot. And in addition to plant-based diets, which focus on whole foods, vegetables, fruits, whole grains, beans, nuts, and seeds, I feel like an intricate part of this health-forward plant-based diet is reducing and minimizing the oil, and that piece sometimes is missed. And so I like to emphasize that, because I know that plant-based eating exists on a continuum for many people, and that's totally fine. And again, I think it's what you include more than what you take out, especially in the beginning. But I like to teach people who don't really, or aren't really aware, I guess, of that piece, that you can do this without oil and you can still include whatever you want in there, but you can do it without oil, especially baking. I know baking without oil is easy, and you can dramatically decrease the amount of fat and calories in baked goods without oil. So, and sauces as well. That's probably like a passion of mine. My passion within the passion is showing people how to make oil-free sauces, because when you're making a salad dressing, you're like, well, what's the base if it's not oil, you know? But there are a ton of whole foods that you can use instead.
That alone is reason enough to get your book. I think that it's so hard for people to take that oil out. And I think it is not common knowledge that it's not healthful no matter how good an oil it is, because there's so many different types of oils now. And some of them are healthier than others, but it's all relative. And how to cook without, I think, as a culture, we've gotten so used to oil needing to be somewhere in the recipe. Like you said, in baked goods, you said it's so easy cooking without, I think, not for most people. In salad dressings especially, I think making oil free, it's an art. I mean, I think it takes a lot of thoughtful blend of ingredients to make it still feel like a delicious salad dressing without the oil. So I think that's really critical and so unique, as you said, in a cookbook.
Yeah, thank you. And it does take a lot of recipe testing. When I'm in recipe test mode, which I mean can be, for me, some of the recipes in Plant-Based Delicious, my God, I've been making them for years. But others, I'm like, oh, I just thought of something. And then I make it again and again and again and again. And my husband's like, are we eating that again? And I'm like, yeah, it wasn't good enough that first time, so we have to make it again. And especially when it comes to oil-free stuff, you experiment a lot. I use beans in a lot of ways to replace oil, especially in baking. In this book, there's an amazing cookie sandwich where I use beans as the base of the cookie. And the experimentation before that worked out was horrendous. But that's part of the process. And I think that's what I love about it. I love the challenge. And I'm really determined to make the food and the flavor that I want come through without sacrificing my nutritional principles.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you're honest about the process of coming up with a recipe. Oh, yeah. Most people make a recipe or try one and it's an absolute flop. I've done plenty of those as I've experimented.
Yeah, but me too. And I think that when I teach people, especially, I like to add that in, that like, it is serious, but it's not that serious. If you screw up and it sucks, it's okay. It's totally okay. Because I think there's a fear as well in adopting a healthier lifestyle. Like, oh, I can't do it. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to cook. I don't have that ingredient. So what if I substitute this ingredient? And we've all been there and it's just food. I know, and I'm very aware that in a lot of places, this conversation will not be happening. And we're very lucky to have the options that we do. But I think it's also important to have a bit of a laid back approach and forgiveness for yourself. And that if you're trying something new, then you're really already on your way, because that's the hardest part, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ashley, for our listeners, is there anything you want to share that we haven't had a chance to talk about?
If there's anybody listening who is really interested in making healthier food choices and changing their diet, it's worth the work. It's worth the effort. It's worth the legwork up front. For me, changing to a plant-based lifestyle has been one of the most freeing and rewarding things I've ever done. And so many people that I know now also eat plant-based just from being around us, family members and friends and that kind of thing. And that you don't need to go all in. You don't need to be all in on a plant-based diet and or all out. You can have plant-based meals, incorporate more plant-based meals. Try making that spaghetti with lentils instead of ground beef. Try using hummus on your sandwich instead of like a deli meat. I feel like it can be intimidating to go all in at once, but I think that small changes matter. And sometimes that's left out of the conversation, that you can, like, if you're make better choices and eventually you're making a lot of better choices, then that means that most of your choices are better. And that's what really makes a difference. The other thing I would like to add is to just let your listeners know that my next cookbook is called Plant-Based Delicious, and it's out in June, and you can get it wherever cookbooks are sold. And that if it's ordered before June, so it's in pre-order season right now, you also get a bonus e-cookbook with 5 additional recipes. And these are recipes that had to be like taken out of the book, because when you start writing a book, I know that you are doing your own cookbook or involved in cookbooks, and you start out with like a word count and an idea, and this is what you agree on, you know, and I always, always go over. And so we had to take out 5, and I was parking them for the next project. But I was like, you know what, they're really in line with the theme of this book, which is just making healthy food really delicious without compromise on health. And so I put them into an e-cookbook. They can get that as well if it's pre-ordered. They just have to submit the receipt on my website, which is ryeshinecook.ca. And they can also find me as ryeshinecook on all of the things, on Instagram and Facebook and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And I will also say that I've been on your website. It is such a tremendous resource. I encourage everybody listening to check out your website and your Instagram. The recipes on your website were phenomenal, obviously, to learn about the book.
Thank you.
Can't say enough wonderful things. It's just mouthwatering watching your website.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so wonderful for you to say. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's just a great resource. So Ashley, thank you so much for all the work you do. I know so much goes into just making one recipe. And I will also add, if our listeners don't know this, that you do your own food photography as well. Is that correct?
I do. So that was me wanting to have more control over many different processes. You know, when you are living abroad like I do, so online is where I share almost everything. And so I wanted the food to look as good as I knew that it could. And so when I was living in Europe for a couple of years, I took about a year and studied food photography. And yeah, the rest is history. So I photographed both of my books, some other cookbooks. I do all the photography on my website. And that is the process of writing a book for me. The photography goes hand in hand. I'm such a cookbook lover. I believe a cookbook is a whole entire experience from cover to cover. I love the themes and getting to know the author through the recipes and through their preamble that introduces the recipe and the photography. And I'm very proud of the photography and I love doing it. And I think the photography might be my motivation to keep writing cookbooks so that I can keep approaching food, not just from a health perspective, but also from a visual perspective, because we eat with our eyes first. And I love showing people how to make your food look good, because that's important.
Yeah. And again, I can't say enough about just how stunning and talented the photo. I mean, you're so talented. The photos are just absolutely amazing.
And you're so kind. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Again, I encourage everyone to check out your website, check out your new book. It's just such a gift. And I can tell just from everything you've said, how much passion and love has gone into creating it. I feel like there's so much of you invested in it. And food that is made with so much heart and feeling is always delicious. So
yeah. Oh, thank you. That's so kind. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. So thank you again, Ashley. Thanks for everything you do. And thank you for your gifts with your cookbooks, to have that available for everyone as a resource. And thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
Take care. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode and share it with a friend. Until next time, do something to help improve your whole health naturally.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent.